Matthew 6, 19 to 21 and verse 24. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For there your treasure is, and there your heart will be also. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
Well, good morning once again. And just before we start going into this message, I want to ask you one question. What are you investing your life into? Think about that. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again just for the opportunity to pray, to be in your presence, to be with your people. Lord, as we approach the subject of giving, Lord, I pray that if the words that come out of my mouth are from you, that they would awaken us, that they would challenge us. Lord, I pray that if there are any words that come out of me that are not from you, that we would forget them. But if they are from you, may they really go into our heart. May they make us think. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So what are you investing your life into? I believe as human beings, and especially, of course, as Christians, we're investing our life into something. And I want to help you unpack this question a little bit. So I think we can really only invest our life into two things. One, we're going to call the kingdom of God. The other one, we're going to call the kingdom of self. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of self. Now think about this for a minute. When we sin, whether it's lying, whether it's stealing, any sin, we're probably declaring and talking about the kingdom of self, putting the attention on ourselves. But when we follow the commands of Jesus, whether it's to love our neighbors, to repent, or to keep Jesus as the highest treasure, we are declaring the kingdom of God. We are investing into the kingdom of God. I know there are times that we probably do both. Sometimes maybe on the same day. Think about this. Sometimes we during the day we will sin, we will lie sometimes. And it seems like the next hour we're following the commands of Jesus, loving our neighbors, maybe baking some cookies for them. We do both things, and yet, as we will see, and as Bill already read, Jesus is clear that we cannot serve two masters. This morning we continue this short, very short summer series on the true marks of a biblical church. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be going through a few passages, but we're going to start actually in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, if you want to head on there, Malachi chapter 3 in the Old Testament. Not a book that we usually go to, but I encourage you to read through it every once in a while. See, the whole purpose of this series that we're calling True Marks of a Biblical Church is to open up the Bible and to see really what is God's plan for the church. In a day and age when there is so much media around us, so many voices that seem to be talking to us about how we should live our lives, how we should maybe even do church, we need to really refocus and see what this has to say, what God's word has to say for the church. We need to refocus so that we can faithfully do his mission correctly. Today we're talking about giving, and I know one of the first things that comes to your mind when you think of giving is probably tithing. And we're going to talk about tithing a little bit, which brings us to Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. We're going to talk about tithing just for the introduction here. This is what it reads. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Let me read that again. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. The storehouse in that time was the place where supplies were kept for the priests, for the royal people. The Israelites at the time knew that in order to worship God, they needed to adhere to the law of tithing. Now, the word tithe literally means one-tenth or 10%. That's why growing up in church, you probably hear about give your 10%. A few head nods, you've all heard that before. The topic of tithing is actually mentioned in the whole Bible more than 30 times, both the Old and the New Testament, which is why we're talking about it for a little bit today. Now, many Christians actually today ask, should I even tithe? Is that something that as Christians, as people of the New Covenant, of the New Testament, should we even tithe? Let me try and illustrate it this way. Picture with me, you're on a road trip. Maybe you're with your family, maybe it's just you. Say you come into a city, let's say it's Calgary, and you say to yourself or say to your family, I'm really hungry, we need some lunch, and it needs to be fast. So let's say you go into McDonald's, just because that's usually the first fast food restaurant that we think of. We go into the McDonald's, not through the drive-thru, but we go in. We order our food for the whole family or for yourself. You go up, and the cashier says that will be, I don't know, $20, let's say. And instead of taking out your wallet, giving the money to the cashier, you say this. You know what? How about the next time I'm in Edmonton, I'll just pay that McDonald's. I'll give the money to that McDonald's. Does that sound okay? Does that sound okay? Of course, the cashier would probably look at you, maybe talk to their manager, bring their manager in. They would look at you a little confused. This doesn't make sense, does it? The same thing goes for church. You see, you wouldn't just eat at a McDonald's in Calgary, pay for it in Edmonton. You tithe where you worship. You tithe where you get fed, which is the church. And although it is great, absolutely awesome to give to parachurch organizations, whether it be Samaritan's Purse, World Vision, Compassion Canada, or missionaries or other charities, God asks specifically for the tithe to go to the local church. This is why we need to talk about tithing. You see, when we have a time, just like we did a few minutes ago, for tithes and offerings, this means that we go further than the tithe. And I think when we go beyond the tithe, God is pleased. There are also many of us in this world, maybe you today, that are struggling financially. But here's the great reality for those people, if you are them today. See, God only requires, He only requires us to give out of what we have been given, not out of what we don't have. See, sometimes we get so guilt-ridden, we think, I don't have much. But you're only supposed to give out of what you've been given. Throughout this first step that we see called tithing, we must remember that everything is, of course, God's. And we know that. I know most of us know that. Everything is God's. But this passage here in Malachi that we just read says that we can test God in this. Not to test Him so that we can withhold the money, but rather test Him in the sense of giving the money and knowing that God is faithful, how He has already provided for us, and how He will provide in the future. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be moving into the New Testament now. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to be going back and forth a little bit, so don't get glued to a specific page. We're looking now at 2 Corinthians 9, which talks about giving as well, but now this is in the church context, a new revolutionary way of giving that is a little different than the Old Testament way. This is what it reads, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, if you're there, verse 7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Some of us know that verse. Probably did a lot the last few words especially. For God loves a cheerful giver. Maybe that makes us feel a little guilty inside. You think, when was the last time I was actually cheerful when giving? Whether it was money, whether it was a time during your day to give to somebody. For God loves a cheerful giver. See, there are times in our life, whether it's money or not, but many times it is money, that we have opportunities to give to people, give to things. I think the reality here, as Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians, is that sometimes we are very reluctant to give, aren't we? I can say that from personal experience. I know the reality of our sinful hearts, being reluctant to give. Let me say it this way. If somebody came up to you, whether it's somebody close to you, maybe a sibling or a cousin, and they say, you know what, I just need a little something right now. A lot of things go through our mind when that happens. What's the first thing that goes through your mind? Maybe you think, well, what's he or she going to do with that money? Let's say money for now. What are they going to do with it? I wonder if I can afford it. Or maybe it's not money, maybe it's time during your day. I wonder if I can actually have time during my busy schedule for this. I wonder what's in it for me. Maybe you think like that. I want to tell you about the danger of thinking like that when it comes to our mission. Evangelism, for example. Let's say that you get to know your neighbor really well. Let's say you start talking to your neighbor and your neighbor gets quite open with you, talks about their lives with you. And that's great. But think about if you are going with the mindset of what's in it for me. Let's say it gets to the point where you want to invite them to a Bible study, or let's say for us, let's say our pancake supper. And they say, no thanks. Let they say, no thanks. They're not angry at you for asking. They just say, no thanks. This isn't the time. They aren't offended at all. But if you go in with the mindset of what's in it for me, this is what will probably happen. You'll probably move on with that person and go on to the next person, treating people like objects. You see, Jesus was a friend of sinners, and he didn't treat people like projects or objects. He treated people as friends. This is what we think, I think, sometimes because of our sinful hearts. We think things like, what's in it for me? We're very reluctant, as the verse in 2 Corinthians says here. Reluctant or under compulsion. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, that's what Paul says. So the question out of this passage right here is simply, when was the last time you gave cheerfully? Maybe it was today, maybe it was 2 years ago. When was the last time you gave cheerfully? A mother wanted to teach her daughter a moral lesson. She gave the little girl a quarter and a dollar for church. Maybe you've done this as a parent, giving your kids a quarter and a dollar for church. The mom said, put whatever one you want in the collection plate, whichever one you want. So when they were coming out of the church, the mother asked her daughter, so what did you put in there, a dollar or a quarter? Well, said the little girl, I was going to give the dollar. I was going to give the dollar. But just before the collection plate came around, the man at the pulpit said, we should all be cheerful givers. So I decided to give the quarter instead. This is what we do sometimes, though, isn't it? I'm not saying that we all give a quarter in the collection plate, because I know that's not the case. What I am saying is that sometimes, and reflect on this for yourself, sometimes when people ask us for something, we think of the most minimal thing to give. We don't want it to inconvenience ourselves. We do this if we are honest with each other. Take my kids, for example. The other day, of course, since it's summertime, we got some nice creamsicles in the freezer. And the other day, of course, my kids want the creamsicle, right? Some kids in here are saying, creamsicle? I'm now paying attention. The kids want the creamsicle. There's one creamsicle left. And there's an apple in the fridge. What do you think I should do? I'll say, you know what? I'll have the ice cream. You can have the apple. And we make excuses, right? And sometimes they are good excuses. You know, the apple is healthier. The ice cream is not as healthy. You guys need the healthier things. You can have the apple. The apple is healthier. It's better for the kids. The ice cream is so much yummier. And I'm not saying to give your kids ice cream all the time. Please don't. And as your parents, you already know that. What I am saying, though, is that we need to reflect on what our heart is saying, just as it says here, if we are actually being a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. If you were here last week, as Bill mentioned this morning, Reg Graves was here, and he talked about giving thanks to God, and everything, give thanks. A really hard biblical truth, then everything, give thanks to God. I think this is a great transition into what we're talking about this morning in giving, because we should give thanks to God for what he has given us. If you have your Bible still open, we're going to go to our main passage this morning, which is Matthew. Already read this morning, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, and verse 24 as well. As you go there, John Piper has famously coined the phrase, God is most glorified in him. God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him. I think in order to give well, we must first understand our heart motivation behind it. Where is our treasure? And our heart, of course, will reflect why we are giving, where we are giving. Reflect on where your heart is, and specifically where your heart is when you give. See, I could have picked a lot of passages that are completely on giving. I could have stayed right on the passage in 2 Corinthians. You see, this passage here in Matthew 6 doesn't even have the word give or giving in it. But I want you to think about giving as we read this passage right now. This is what it reads, Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21 and verse 24. Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And verse 24. "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." You cannot serve both God and money. So who is your master? God, money, God, wealth. Which one of these governs what you do with your life or how you give? No one can serve two masters. Very clearly, Jesus says that. We need to be honest when we are living throughout the week, when we make decisions each and every day. What governs those decisions? What goes through your mind? See, for the people hearing this in Jesus' time, wealth, prosperity was seen as a huge blessing from God. In fact, it even went to the extreme where sometimes if you weren't being blessed by financial means, people would say, God is not with you. God is not blessing you right now. At times, I think today even we believe that as well. And yes, I do believe that money can be a blessing from God. However, if we truly believe this, I believe we should be pursuing the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of self. I don't need to remind all of us to not buy lots of toys or material things. I think we all know this. But I think we need to realize that money has a tendency to control us. I think that's why Jesus says that here. Has a tendency to let money control us, the decisions that we make. Tim Keller says this, "If you love anything in this world more than God, you will crush that object under the weight of your expectations." Let me say that again. If you love anything in this world more than God, you will crush that object under the weight of your own expectations. Think about this for a second with money. If you love money more than God, the weight of your expectations, you will never be satisfied. It will crush the object under the weight of your expectations. Your expectations in this world, whether they be to have a good life, to retire early, or to have great kids, a great family, It will never be satisfied if you love money more than God. But if you put Jesus as your greatest treasure, you will be satisfied. You will never be thirsty, never have to dwell on anything ever again. As we think about giving, and specifically this passage as it comes to giving, we must first understand and try to realize where our hearts are. Where is your heart when it comes to giving? Are you serving two masters? Does anybody know the name of George Whitefield? Anybody? A few sort of head nods. George Whitefield was, in my opinion, one of the most incredible preachers in the past 500 years. See, George Whitefield would go literally onto the street and preach to people. He would preach the gospel. Tens of thousands of people came to know Jesus from George Whitefield's ministry. How about William Tyndale? Anyone know the name William Tyndale? Maybe a little, some hands. William Tyndale. Now, we wouldn't have this English Bible and all the incredible English translations we have of the Bible without Tyndale. See, here's the reality for these men. They had incredible people behind them. For Whitefield, there was a lady by the name of Lady Huntington. Lady Huntington was quite a rich woman, and she decided to fund all of Whitefield's ministry so he could travel around Europe to preach, travel around the world to preach. Tyndale had a man by the name of Humphrey Bonmouth. Humphrey Bonmouth. He said this to Tyndale, "I will fund you entirely to translate the Bible into English. And not just that, which was illegal at the time, but to actually put the Bibles, once they were translated, onto his boats to come out to the world." Without Bonmouth, we wouldn't have the enormous amounts of English Bibles that we have today. He got put in jail. Tyndale was burned at the stake. Behind both of Tyndale and Whitefield, there was men and women who decided with their money to fund the kingdom, kingdom ways. Not the kingdom of self, but the kingdom of God. So this is the reality for us, many of us, as Canadians, as people in North America. I think you know the statistics, but we are quite richer than most of the world. We found this out, of course, being in Mexico a little bit. We are much wealthier than the rest of the world. See, people need Jesus, and we need to ask ourselves, myself included, how can we, with what God has blessed us with, including money, as well as gifts, display the message of the gospel throughout this world, in Cremona as well? The early church knew this as well. Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Paul says this, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" As we keep on doing our sermon series for the next couple weeks through the true marks of a biblical church, we must understand that the early church, as we see in the Bible, was a church built on giving. Based on a humble realization that life was not about them, it was about what God had done for them and what God was doing around them. And as the church in 2018, our natural response to the giving that God has blessed us with is a natural outpouring of giving to each other, to the people around us. Ephesians 2, 8 to 9, one of my favorite verses says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast." Did you hear that? Is a gift of God. God has given the free gift of salvation through his son Jesus to whoever repents and trusts in Jesus. A free gift God has given. As a church, as the body of Christ, we need to fully comprehend what this means. If God has actually done this, what does this mean for us? What we need to understand, and what I want all of us to understand, is that we need to be generous givers of our time, of our money. Be generous givers. As a church, we need to understand how we can, with our money, with the gifts that God has blessed us with this building even, how we can reach the community, how we can share the gospel with people around us. As the weather has gotten better this summer, I've gotten the opportunity to walk a lot more. And as I have walked a lot more, I've encountered people along my way here in Cremona that as I ask them how they're doing, they're not doing well. Even in a time of summer where it seems like we can just be very cheerful and with the sun shining, people are becoming more lonely, more depressed in this time and age. I've met a couple people on my way coming to the office that just say they are lonely. They are depressed even. During our missions committee meeting a few weeks ago, I talked about how can we best minister to those people in our community that are lonely, that are depressed. As we talked about giving today, I think we need to understand that one of the best things we can do is simply give our time. And I know a lot of you don't live right here in Cremona, but we need to open our eyes. People here in Cremona, and I'm sure in other places as well, whether it be Water Valley, Carstairs, Didsbury, are feeling this way. We cannot afford to be a church that only does things like pancake suppers, although those are good things. We need to be a church that is a giving church that goes out of these walls, talks to the people in our community, shares the gospel with them. This is why it is vital. And if you haven't been paying attention, just listen to this. If we don't understand why and how we need to give, which we just explored the past few minutes, we will never fully understand what Jesus has done for us, what he has given us. See, we are often so blinded by our attempt to build the kingdom of self in our sin. We think about ourselves a lot. But we need to build the kingdom of God. We need to see the kingdom around us. People are hungry for truth, hungry for Jesus, although they might not say it. We, as the body of Christ, should see that in others. Our giving should reflect the giving that God has blessed us with. So I pray that we can go forth, give to people of our time, our gifts, our money even, dispersing the world, giving grace to people that we see every day, whether it's at the grocery store or the gas station. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this morning. Lord, in the message of giving, Lord, I pray that we can fully comprehend how much you have given us. Lord, I pray as we keep on exploring these marks of a biblical church, Lord, I pray that we can really focus on what the Bible has to say. For we know that Scripture can rebuke us, it can challenge us, and can encourage us. I pray that we can focus on that, on the Scriptures and what they have to say for us as a church and as followers of Jesus. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.